Good morning once more and shalom. We are still in the book of James and we want to continue looking at this book, chapter 1, from verses 12 all the way to 27. This is the second installment, even in chapter 1. Now, James was the half brother of Jesus. James did not believe in Jesus for over 20 years. He lived with God in one house, but he never benefited from that anointing. One person says, the anointing that you do not understand, the anointing that you do not accept, does not benefit you. It is until the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection that the eyes of James open up. What a tragedy would be that you live with Jesus in one house, but your eyes are not open that it was Jesus. What a tragedy it is for young people to live with God, but they do not know he is God. You are being troubled. And you cannot reach out for God to help you and is together with you. May this book open our eyes just to see God at work in our lives. May we recognize when God speaks to us. May our eyes be opened. This book, the book of James, is written for missionary minorities. It's written for the Jewish evangelist. You know, God raised the Jews to become the world missionaries. In the book of Genesis chapter 12, we know that God called Abraham from the Ur of Chaldean, and he was to go even to Canaan, that is to the Canaanites, and he was to become a blessing to them. Why was he to become a blessing? What does a blessing mean? Becoming a blessing means. Being a blessing means was to connect them back to the source of blessing. That is what we call he was to bless them. When you say that I bless you, you are saying I reconnect you to the source. What had happened to the Canaanites? The Canaanites were disconnected from the blessings, from the source, by the words that were spoken by Noah. You remember, one brother, one son of Noah, the last born, so to speak, found his father, Noah, naked at the tent. And he did not cover his father. And that was not a good act. We do not know what finally he did with that. But when he told his brothers, his brothers came and covered his father. When Father Noah woke up, spoke very limiting words. Sometimes they're called curses, but limiting words. He spoke them to Ham, his son called Ham. But that limiting words went to his grandchildren called Canaanites. So Abraham, later on God called one of the people from other sons of Noah, I think the second born, and he chose one of them called Abraham. He said, you go, come out of your father's house, go to Canaan. These brothers or this other tribe, they are what they are, not because of their own making. It was their father Ham who made a mistake, but it was their children, the grandchildren, who are suffering. So go and change them. Go and be a blessing to them. Go and be a missionary. Now that is the gospel. That is why Jesus came from heaven to earth, so that he may change every limiting word, every limiting situation to us. He was to turn us back. But Jesus was to pay. The difference between Abraham and Jesus is that Jesus came and paid for us. Abraham could not be able to pay for them. He was only a proclaimer. He was only calling the blessing. He became a blessing because he was connected to God. But Jesus is God himself who finally came. So we know that the Jewish tribe, they were to become the light or to the nations of the world. And so when Jews found themselves scattered all over the nations, even today, many of the Jews are scattered in America, they're scattered in Russia, they're scattered in Africa, they're scattered in every part of the world. The purpose of them being there is, according to God, to become a blessing to the nation. Of course, through Jesus Christ today. But do they normally do that? No. So they are missionaries. So those Jews were scattered because of persecution that Saul, the persecutor, when he put pressure on them, they ran out there. So this letter is a practical guide to help every missionary group. But I also want to mention something. Before this, James had written to another group. In the book of Acts 15, he had written to the Gentile group. Do you know that God uses two people? God is looking for two people to do his assignment. One, he's looking for a man among them. That is the book of Ezekiel, I think 22 was that. He was looking for a man or a person among them. What does that mean? He's looking for a person who come from that community. That's the first group that God uses. Second, God looks for a man outside them and send this man into this new tribe, in this new group, so that he can also be able to work with the man among them. So there are those two people. It depends on where you are. So each one of us who are working, we are either working among our tribes, it's a woman working among women, a man working among men, youth working among youth, this tribe working among this tribe, and you can have a man working among women, a woman sent to men, a youth sent to old people, old men sent to youth. God uses those two people so that it can be able to be full. So we must be ready to accept a man amongst us and a man outside us whom God has sent. We call them a missionary. So this is what James has written to both of them. So here, the letter of James is written to the minority missionaries among majority unbelievers. And in chapter 1 here, he is hardening one subject. How can you first be able to stand firm? There are two things the two kinds of weeds that you must be very careful not to make you fall. Weed that come outside. These are called persecutions and trials and pressure. Hostility from the people group that you are serving. They can become hostile to you. They can inflict pain on you. They can reject you. They can refuse you. They would even kill you ultimately. They would want to destroy you. They want to eat you up. So how do you continue becoming a good missionary? How do you become influential when people whom you have leached don't love you, don't even seem to need you? You feel you're hated. They are actually planning to eliminate you, yet you are there. This is what would happen to Joseph. When Joseph is going to his brothers, the brothers whom the father has sent Joseph to, they are planning to kill him. In fact, they plan how to sell him. When they saw him, they said, here comes a dreamer. And they want, and it is an opportunity to kill him. How do you continue to serve? It's only when you realize that the word has come from the Father. And this is what this book is talking about. For you to be able to stand firm against your brothers who hate you, the pressure from outside is when you take the word from your Father. Joseph had to remember he was sent by the Father. And that's what this book is all about. The word that is planted in you, the word that is spoken by your Father. It is that word that makes you to serve your brothers. The second problem is the pressure from within. They are called temptations. Temptations is when you get into the tribe there, when you get to there to the missionary, and you start wanting to worship their gods. You want to have their idols. You want to be like them. These are the temptations. Some evil desires. You want to marry some of them who are not born again. You want to have adultery amongst them. When you start fighting among them, so there's that, the pull. You want to start living loose life. That is another danger of a missionary. How do you overcome them? We are saying is when you accept the word of God that is planted in you by your Father, is when you get the wisdom from your Father. And so James, in chapter 1, he's talking about overcoming pressure and temptation. Overcoming trials. If you can use two T's, overcoming trials. Trials come from the outsider. They come from outs, coming from your brothers, coming from the people that you're ministering. And temptation is coming from within you. But all of them is when the word of God that came from your Father is planted within you. You allow this word to become in for you, and you are able to serve them. And this is what you say, for the sun rises up with scorching heat and withers like a plant is blossomed. So you are told how the many things happen. Those things that are pressure and temptation, they wither up, they'll come to an end. But the word of God planted in you will stand. So in verse 12, he says, blessed is the one who perseveres at the trials. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So trials would also be called tests. Trials actually would come from even God. Trials would also come from your brothers out there. God can try you. Your brothers can be used to try you. Your Father can also try you to see what is in you. The Bible says that the children of Israel, they were tried. Deuteronomy 8, the Bible says that God tested them. So when God tests you, you have to pass the test. How? Allowing you to go through the lessons of your Father. Allowing the word of God. And this is what we are talking about. When tempted, no one, now this is now which is bad, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their evil desires and enticed. So now we are being now told the negative part of it is the temptation. This does not come from God. It's not from God. It comes from within us, from our evil desires. But these evil desires, then the Bible says, then after the desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So those desires, evil desires become sin. And when sin is fully grown, give birth to death. So that's the cycle of temptation. So we should defeat this temptation when it is in the seed, when it is in the embryo, when it has not grown up. Don't wait until temptation kills you. Many of the believers have been destroyed by the temptation. Let's defeat temptation when it is in the desire stage. How does that happen? Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Now, we need to take this gift. There's a gift to help us to overcome temptations and tests. Coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Joseph was able to defeat trials and temptation because even Joseph was going through a lot of temptations. He was boasting. The boasting among his brothers was a temptation. And how did he do that? Because of the word, the gift of the word that the Father had spoken. What had he said? Go to your brothers, serve them. He says, this Father, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of all that he created. So what do you do with the word the Father has spoken? Two things. Listen to the word our Father has spoken. Do the word the Father has spoken. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save you. Yes, to get rid of the filth and allow the word of God to grow. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in whatever they do. So here he's talking about the way to be blessed is to do the word. Not only to listen to the word, to do the word. But then, not only that, we are also supposed to make sure that we consider to be righteous, to be good, to do something. So let me just introduce something that we are going to continue from chapter 2 next time about becoming a model now, becoming an example, helping. But he talks about three things that you become, that to make you as a missionary to shine. Three things that to make you to be productive, to be a good ruler, to be the light and the salt. And what are these three things? Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep the tight rein of their tongue deceive themselves. And their religion is what there is. Religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans, yes, and the widows in their distress, yes, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Three things that he talks about here is to keep your tongue. And we'll be talking about this now. Keep your tongue tight in the world. Number two, help those that are less disadvantaged, orphans and widows. And number three, don't let the world pollute you. These are the three things that will help us to start influencing the world that God has called us as missionaries. Father, help us to keep our tongue well. Help us to keep our hearts well. Help us to keep our hands well. All this touches about our head and our hearts and our hands. Our hands are to help. Our hearts, Lord, are to be kept tight, that we don't allow the filthiness of the world to enter us. And our heads are supposed to be kept well. And through our heart, our mouth, they will not be able to enter into us as we speak out bad things. In Jesus' name.